Being from New York, Atlanta had always seemed like a fairly exotic place to visit. I'd been going there with my family since I was a young child. Unlike New York, the soil was red. The sidewalks were made up of small hexagonal tiles instead of the large concrete squares I knew from New York. And instead of buses, Atlanta had trackless trolleys, at least until 1963. And of course, the way people spoke English there was different. Well, now I was on my first phone trip to Atlanta, so this was going to be interesting. Unfortunately, this was a plane trip to Atlanta, so there wasn't any chance to play with phones along the way. One of my grandmother's houses was a good place to experiment with the phone, since there was an extension in a quiet back porch area where I could have at the phone without calling a lot of attention to what I was doing. Of course, the first thing I did was to get a dial tone and dial 6 to see if there was a burst of dial tone at the end of the digit. No dial tone burst. So, this line might be similar to my home phone line in Long Island. But wait, something was different. Now that I'd begun dialing a number, there was dead silence on the line. By contrast, my home phone line in Long Island always had had a hum on the line while you were dialing a number. I tried dialing vacant codes, such as 311, from my grandmother's house, but instead of getting a recording, I only got this. Dialing 660, followed by 4 more digits, also went to that signal. I'd never heard a sound like that before. I sort of guessed that that was supposed to be a fast, busy signal like this. But it was such a strange sound that I wasn't quite sure that that's what they had in mind. Since all the vacant codes, and also dialing errors like failing to dial a 1 for long distance, all seemed to go to that funny, busy signal, the only way I could get a local recording was to leave my phone off the hook and let the dial tone time out.
Please hang up and try your call again. If you need assistance, dial the operator. Please hang up now.
The most noticeable difference between my grandma's phone line and my home phone back in Long Island was that my home phone line always did this. That sound I was so used to hearing, because at my house, you would hear that every time you finished dialing a number. Local, long distance, everything. Grandma's phone line, however, never did that. In fact, it was a little disconcerting because after I would dial a local call, there would be no apparent response from the equipment, sometimes for several seconds. Dead silence until finally it would click and ring. Double ring? We don't have those in New York. Whoops. But local calls in Atlanta were free, so I didn't have to worry about running up a big phone bill at Grandma's house. Unlike Long Island, where every local call ran up message units, including the local time number, which in Long Island went through with a bunch of funny clicky noises and cost a message unit.
Time will be 6:32. Exactly. At the tone, daylight time will be 6:32 and 10 seconds. At the tone, daylight time.
By contrast, the time in Atlanta played only once and had a commercial, but it was free.
Fulton National congratulates all graduating high school seniors. Fulton National would love to be your bank. Time, 10:20.
You know, that voice...
Time. 10.
Sounded eerily familiar, and in the back of my mind, I knew I recognized it. But from where?
Time.
Yeah, shortwave radio, that's where.
Time.
With ticks in the background.
Time.
Of course, this was the announcer from the U.S. government time station.
National Bureau of Standards, WWV, Fort Collins, Colorado. Next tone begins at 2 hours. 5 minutes, Greenwich Mean Time.
From Grandma's back porch, I also tried dialing vacant prefixes in various area codes around the U.S. and Canada, and I found that certain of these area codes went through a different gateway than they would as dialed from my home phone in Long Island. For example, Washington, D.C., as dialed from my home phone, went through this.
2022.
While from Grandma's house, this.
2024.
Another difference in this regard, which was actually less surprising, was that from Atlanta, calling back to Long Island, 516 vacant codes went through a gateway I had never heard of before, called
5162.
So the whole long-distance network, as seen from an Atlanta perspective, was slightly different, though mostly the same, as from a Long Island perspective. Interesting. A different perspective on the same long-distance network. However, there was one thing about it that I didn't like from Grandma's house, and that was there were no tones. A long-distance call would just pause, click once loudly, and then make a few subtle noises after that. When I got to Uncle Harry's house, I knew I could play with the phone some, because he was a ham radio operator, so the whole idea of diddling with things wasn't so strange in his household. Well, wouldn't you know it, the one phone that I had the most permission to play with was the least interesting, because his phone did this. Yep, just like mine at home. Everything did this. And so there wasn't any mystery there. And of course, like my home phone, there was no burst of dial tone at the end of the first digit, and there was a subtle hum on the line while you were dialing a number. Exactly the same. Except for one little thing. There was no local vacant code recording. If you dialed 311 or any other vacant prefix, you got this. The high point of my Atlanta phone trip was playing with the payphones in Midtown and in downtown Atlanta. At that time, September 1970, both types of payphones were in use. The old kind that had three slots and the mechanical bells when you put the coins in, and the new kind where you just had one coin slot. These phone lines first got my attention by the fact that if I picked up the phone, put in a dime, and dialed a six, there was that burst of dial tone at the end of the digit. This, of course, reminded me of the phone lines in Long Island that got 660 and did all that other cool stuff. But here, the code 660 wasn't working. In fact, I got a recording just by dialing 66. Getting a recording on just two digits was very unlike anything in New York, or for that matter anything from Uncle Harry's or Grandma's phone in Atlanta. Because everywhere but from these lines, calls tended to go through on 3, 7, or 10 digits. But these phone lines were different, because the number of digits required to get on a recording seemed to vary in a way that seemed almost make it up as you go along. My earliest recordings of dialing from a Midtown Atlanta payphone illustrate this as I announce what I dial and the recording I got.
4433.
I'm sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service. Please be sure you have the right number in mind and that you have dialed it correctly. This is a recording.
2-1.
This is a recording. I'm sorry, the number you have reached is not in service at this time. If you need assistance, please hang up and dial your operator.
76220.
This is Delta Airlines. The number you have dialed is not in service. Please call our operator at 346-6011 for information. The number again is 346-6011. This is a recording.
9466.
I'm sorry, the number you have dialed. I'm sorry, the number you have dialed. I'm sorry, the number you have dialed. I'm sorry, the number you have dialed.
Charming. Another distinctive feature of these interesting phone lines was that every time I would dial a digit, there were loud clicks. And at the time, I kinda just didn't notice that detail, but it should have been hard to miss. What I did notice was that everything I tried from this sort of a phone line had the general theme of the call starting to go through before you finish dialing the complete number. The best example of this is what would happen if I dialed a suburban prefix, maybe 25 miles out from central Atlanta. I would dial the prefix. And before I'd even finished dialing the phone number, here was the sound of the connection out to that distant place. Calling certain exchanges, I could even pause indefinitely and finish dialing the number minutes after I'd started, at which point it would still ring. And what a strange ring it was in some of these places. There was a recording in Alpharetta that I especially remember because the voice just seemed especially authoritative and somehow familiar. I got it by just picking up one of these payphones, putting in a dime, and dialing 475, the prefix for Alpharetta, and then a 1. Again, as soon as I dialed 475, you could hear the Alpharetta connection coming on, and then the 1 was enough to give you the recording. The equipment didn't require you to dial the complete 7-digit number, but this was only true from these interesting phone lines I've been talking about. From Uncle Harry's house and Grandma's house, you still had to dial all 7 digits before anything would happen. Here's how it would have sounded from one of the single-slot payphones at the time, if I'd recorded with a high-quality pickup coil.
This is a recording. I'm sorry, but the number you have reached is not in service. Please be sure you have the right number in mind and that you have dialed it correctly. This is a recording.
That schoolmarmy voice made me sit up and pay attention, not just because she sounded that way.
Please be sure you have the right number in mind and that you have dialed it correctly.
But because I recognized her subconsciously.
If you share your line with others, be a good party line neighbor.
Yes, ma'am. You must be Ma Bell herself, aren't you?
Exactly.
I thought so.
Now is a good time to brighten your home with colored telephones.
Colored phones? Whoa, I don't know. That might be a little too exciting. I might feel like dancing or something. Please don't hit me with that ruler.
This is another service of your telephone company.
Ow! Seriously, she was the voice of the New York Time, and as it turned out, other time numbers. and one of several Atlanta voices that kept turning up all over the old network, as you'll hear on other parts of this webpage. The last thing I did in Atlanta was at the airport, where I encountered my first telephone smorgasbord. You see, transportation terminals in the 1970s had phone banks that were like an all-you-can-eat buffet, because the phone companies would usually import payphone lines from all the various neighborhoods surrounding the terminal, not just from the local central office. And so you always had a variety of different and distinct types of phone lines to choose from. The Atlanta airport had four different possibilities. Let's see, we could go over to a phone whose number begins with 36, and we'll put in a dime and see what kind of phone line it is. Okay, I dialed a digit. There was no burst of dial tone at the end of the digit, and sounds like this phone line has a normal hum in the background. Now, this is probably going to turn out to be like my home phone and Uncle Harry's phone. I decided to then try dialing my own number to see if I got a distinctive click before the busy signal, and sure enough, the way it clicked onto the busy did confirm that this was like my home phone. And funny, these payphones that had the three slots had a relay in them that would click along with it, making it even more pronounced. So it was really hard to miss because the payphone turned this into this. Had I had more experience, I would have found something to appreciate about that phone, and actually each and every one of the four different prefixes that served that phone bank. But having spent precious little time on what I considered the interesting phones in Atlanta, I decided to move on to try to find one of them. The next phone had a 688 number, but it too turned out to be just like my home phone. Finally, I settled on a phone with a 76 number. The fact that it had an old-fashioned dial tone did give me some hope that this might be the sort of phone line I was looking for, but I knew the type of dial tone was not an absolute determiner, so I tried dialing a digit, in this case a 1. There was that burst of dial tone, so this is a phone I wanted to play with. As I stayed on the line after dialing a 1, it rang briefly, and then, for the first time, I heard this.
Excuse me, it's about your call that did not go through. The number you have dialed has probably been disconnected. However, if you wish to verify this report, you may stay on the line and an operator will assist you. If you think you could have dialed incorrectly, please try your call again. This is a recording.
Now, y'all have heard this one before, but this was the first time I'd ever heard it. And for a second, my jaw dropped. Then I thought about what it said about the direction that things were taking. And I thought, far bleeping out.
Be a good neighbor.
Put a sock in it, you old battle axe. I'm gonna crank it up and dance.
Yeah, I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life. I just want to celebrate, yeah, yeah, another day of living. Yeah!
It's a little scary to contemplate how this song feels nowadays. By now, it's either been turned into 5 different commercials, or it's considered too corny to be cool to turn into commercials. Sad statement of the way things have gone, but the way it felt at the time was quite different. You can learn a lot about the collective psyche of a society by paying attention to the things that everyone else experiences but doesn't notice. The next segment gets into the many details that I noticed but could not explain in September 1970 back in Long Island. The mysteries, if you care to follow them, are accruing faster than the explanations of what they are. But of course, everything was explained eventually. Recordings used here are from later dates in the 1970s, and some compositing has been done. For example, calls made from one-slot payphones have been edited to sound like they were made from three-slot payphones.